One, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our program is designed for people learning English. We speak slowly, using simple grammar and a limited vocabulary. Today on the show, we have stories from John Russell and Susan Shand. Jill Robbins brings us the Education Report. And we visit another wonderful U.S. national park. But now, here's Susan Shand.
President Joe Biden officially raised the nation's cap on refugee admissions to 62,500 this year. The action came weeks after Biden faced criticism for his delay in removing the record low limit set by former President Donald Trump. Refugee resettlement agencies have waited for Biden to increase the number of refugees permitted into the United States since February 12th. That was the day he sent a presidential proposal to Congress saying he planned to do so. But the presidential proposal went unsigned until Monday. Biden said that before he could sign the plan, he needed to change narrow rules put in place by Trump that had kept out most refugees. After making the changes, Biden kept in Trump's cap of 15,000 refugees per year. He explained that the limit remained justified by humanitarian concerns and was in the national interest. That brought strong criticism. The number two Senate Democrat, Dick Durbin of Illinois, called the cap unacceptable. Within hours, the White House changed the decision. It promised to increase the cap by May 15th. It added, however, that it would not meet the 62,500 number the president had promised earlier. In the end, however, Biden said he received additional information that led him to return to that number. It is important to take this action today to remove any lingering doubt in the minds of refugees around the world who have suffered so much, Biden stated before signing it. He said Trump's cap did not represent America's values as a nation that welcomes and supports refugees. He also said it was a sad truth that the U.S. would not meet the number by the end of the fiscal year in September. That is because of the COVID-19 pandemic and limitations on the country's ability to resettle refugees. He blamed the limitations on the Trump administration's policies. The White House said it was unable to act until now because of the difficulties at the border, as young migrants from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras continue arriving in large numbers. Supporters of an increase in the number of refugees, including Durbin, accused Biden of playing politics. The number of refugees is expected to be expanded to 125,000 for 2022. Only about 2,000 refugees have been resettled in the U.S. since October 1, 2020. Refugee resettlement agencies praised Biden's actions. Krish Omara Vignaraja is the head of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, one of nine resettlement agencies in the U.S. She said her organization is pleased, as are families all across the world who look to the U.S. for protection. The United States, she added, is returning to worldwide humanitarian leadership. Biden also ended Trump's restrictions on resettlements from Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. About 35,000 refugees have been approved to enter the United States, with 100,000 others still waiting to be cleared. I'm Susan Shand.
The automobile division of Vietnam's largest business group, Vingroup, wants to get involved in the U.S. market. The group hopes its VinFast cars will be enough to take car buyers away from market leaders like Tesla and General Motors. VinFast is a recent arrival in automobile markets. It is ranked as the fifth biggest car maker in Vietnam. VinFast's chief is Nguyen Thi Van An. She told the Reuters news agency recently that the company plans to launch in North America and Europe in 2022. VinFast will join a large number of manufacturers seeking to compete with Tesla. Standing behind VinFast is Vingroup, Vietnam's biggest conglomerate or multi-industry business group. Vingroup has interests in real estate, schools, hospitals, smartphones, and other products. Even with such strong support, VinFast has difficult competition. Companies such as General Motors, Toyota, and Volkswagen have spent tens of billions of dollars to develop electric and driverless vehicles. The company was established in 2017 with a team led by former General Motors officials. VinFast is aiming to compete on vehicle size and price. It will offer an electric sports utility vehicle, or SUV, that Van An described as more luxurious than those currently available. VinFast cars will also come with a battery leasing program. Buyers will pay a monthly amount that is close to what the average car buyer might spend on gasoline. That means the cost of the battery, one of the most expensive parts of an electric car, will not be included in the sales price. The battery uses cells from South Korea's Samsung SDI. When it is at 70% of its full lifespan, VinFast will replace it, Van An said. VinFast hopes the ideas will win over American customers. Many Asian carmakers have entered the U.S. market with success. Toyota in the 1970s and Hyundai in the 1980s overcame concerns about their products to gain market share from U.S. manufacturers. VinFast, which has yet to make a profit, faces strong competition. Bill Russo is head of Automobility Limited and a former Chrysler official. Russo said VinFast's biggest barrier is persuading consumers that they have a solid product and that VinFast cars give good value for the money. Russo added, "The product itself looks to have the right appearance and features, but this will only get you in the game. Winning requires a technology or business model edge over the competition. Michael Dunn is chief of automotive advisory company ZozoGo. Dunn said no electric vehicle maker can compete with Tesla in the near future. But, Dunn added, the good news is that companies like VinFast do not have to beat Tesla to win. He said that the company only needs to get some car buyers who bought gasoline-powered cars to change over to electric cars. VinFast has hired Jeremy Snyder to help them grow. He worked for Tesla for 10 years. Snyder told Reuters he was VinFast's first employee in the United States. Between full-time employees and temporary workers, the company now has about 100 workers in the U.S. It's very exciting to bring Vietnam and the United States closer through VinFast, he said. I'm John Russell.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Ana Sol Romero has seen many changes in teaching methods, testing, and technology during her 40 years as a teacher. But this year, she said, has given her a lifetime's worth of changes. In her first grade class in Manor, Texas, just outside of Austin, only 12 students are inside the classroom. The other half of the class join in from home by video. Romero now stands behind a clear divider, working with a pointer, a laptop, and a few other technologies to teach her students. Romero said, "It is difficult with the technology, and I have learned more, but it is not enough. It is never enough." She said she is from an older generation and she misses the daily, in-person connections with her students. First-year teacher Cindy Hips is Romero's teaching partner. She said it was like being introduced to the ring of fire of teaching. She added, "I feel like a superwoman now." This spring marks a year since the coronavirus pandemic shut down schools across the United States. It forced many students, parents, and teachers into virtual classrooms. As states permitted larger groups to gather, some students have since returned to school. Many schools now use a combination of virtual and in-person instruction in class. And teachers like Romero have to learn new ways of teaching all the students. Adding to the difficulties, not all students have equal access to internet and technology. There were political and social protests across the country. And many tired educators are wondering if this will be their last school year. Antoinette Miranda is an Ohio State University professor of school psychology. She is also on the state's school board and married to a high school teacher. She said that educators are dealing with the pandemic's effects on themselves and their family. They also are trying to support students, some with troubles in school, and some without food at home while being separated from friends. We talk a lot about the stress on students, Miranda said. But I think there's a tremendous amount of stress on teachers. Some people blamed teachers who raised concerns on health and safety for delaying school reopenings. They felt it put pressure on parents. But Miranda thinks there's also a renewed respect for teachers, especially parents that had to start teaching their kids at home. Andre Spencer is head of the Manor Independent School District, where Romero works. He said the schools centered on helping students and teachers during the pandemic. They spent millions to provide every student and teacher the technology for virtual learning, including mobile internet access. Even before the start of this school year, school supervisors like Spencer were already worried that there would be a shortage of teachers and school workers. The National Education Association is one of the nation's largest representatives for teachers. The organization found that more than one in four teachers felt the pandemic increased their plans to retire early or leave the profession. Randy Weingarten is president of the American Federation of Teachers, or AFT, another teachers' organization. She believes there will be more teachers retiring in the coming months after a year of unknowns, change, and stress. And AFT has started a program to help members who were affected by COVID-19. But there were other issues that affect teachers, especially teachers of color, this past year. They include national conversations around racial injustice, the presidential election, and the attack on the U.S. Capitol. Travis Bristol is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley. He suggests schools provide employees time to talk about what they have been through. He says teachers who have been supported in dealing with their own stress will be better able to help students do the same. Romero, the first grade teacher in Texas, was considering retiring, but she now looks forward to the new school year. She said, "We will have the experience of an entire year of trying. That's what educators do. We try and we fail, and we get up and we shake it off and we do it again." I'm Jill Robbins.
This week on our national parks journey, we travel to the northwestern state of Oregon. Here, you will find a huge, deep lake. Its waters seem impossibly blue. It is the deepest lake in America and one of the deepest lakes in the world. Its water is among the clearest and purest found on Earth. Around the lake runs the wall of an extinct volcano. In the middle of the lake, a small island rises over 230 meters above the surface. Welcome to Crater Lake National Park.
The lake's beauty inspires artists, photographers, and nature lovers. That beauty was born from the violent burst of Mount Mazama about 7,700 years ago. Hot liquid called magma rose from deep under the mountain, causing it to collapse. The powerful burst destroyed the surrounding area. Huge amounts of ash fell on the land. The burst also left an enormous circular hole in the mountain's center. Scientists call this a caldera. Over the next hundreds of years, rain and snow filled the hole with water. Rainfall and snowfall are the lake's only source of water. It has no connections to the rivers and streams around it. That is what keeps its waters so pure. As water collected, plants began to grow in the area again, and animals returned. Scientists say it took about 250 years for the lake to rise to its current water level. Crater Lake is 592 meters deep. It is one of the 10 deepest on Earth. But its depth is not the only remarkable quality. People are awed by its water color and clarity. Crater Lake is so clear that on most days you can see nearly 30 meters below the surface. The lake takes on its intense blue color because of the water's clarity. Sunlight reaches deep into the water. Crater Lake gets its name from geology. A crater is a large bowl-shaped area on top of a volcano. The crater that formed the lake sits within the larger caldera.
Native Americans were in the area even before the lake's formation. Researchers have found artifacts buried under layers of ash and dust from Mount Mazama's huge eruption. Following the burst, Native Americans considered Crater Lake to be a holy place. Ancient Native American stories describe the eruption of Mount Mazama. European explorers and settlers did not arrive in the area until the middle 1800s. In 1865, a hunter became one of the first non-Native Americans to reach the shores of Crater Lake. In 1870, a boy in Kansas read a newspaper article about the strange lake in Oregon. The story about Crater Lake fascinated the young William Gladstone Steele. He promised himself he would one day see this lake. In 1872, Steele's family moved to Portland, Oregon, about 375 kilometers north of the lake. 13 years later, Steele honored his promise and visited Crater Lake. Its beauty moved him greatly. He began a 17-year fight to preserve the area as a public park. Steele was a writer. He described one of his first visits to Crater Lake in 1886 in the West Shore magazine.
"Not a foot of the land about the lake has been touched or claimed. An overmastering conviction came to me that this wonderful spot must be saved, wild and beautiful, just as it was, for all future generations."
His proposal of creating a national park did not please nearby sheep herders and miners. but his efforts succeeded anyway. On May 22, 1902, Crater Lake became the country's fifth national park. It remains the only national park in Oregon. And William Gladstone Steele is called the father of Crater Lake.
Crater Lake National Park covers 740 square kilometers. The lake itself makes up less than 10% of the park. It also includes surrounding mountains and thick forests. The trees shelter many kinds of animals, from black bears to elk to spotted owls. About 480,000 people visit Crater Lake National Park each year. They explore by car, bicycle, or on foot. Roads that encircle Crater Lake usually are open from July through October, depending on weather. They provide breathtaking displays of the lake's unusual blue color, as well as the forests around it. Crater Lake National Park also has more than 140 kilometers of hiking trails. The Cleetwood Cove Trail drops more than 200 meters down to the edge of Crater Lake. It leads to a spot where swimming is permitted. The water is extremely cold. Most swimmers cannot stay in for more than a few minutes. Crater Lake's average water temperature is just 3 degrees Celsius. In summer, the lake's surface warms to about 10 degrees Celsius. Visitors can also catch a boat from the end of Cleetwood Cove Trail. Park rangers lead visitors on boat rides around the lake. Visitors can also take boats to Wizard Island. The piece of land sits in the western part of the lake. Volcanic eruptions formed Wizard Island. It rises over 760 meters above the lake floor. However, most of the island, about 500 meters, is underwater. At Wizard Island, visitors can hike, swim, and fish. It is also a wonderful place to relax and enjoy nature. But such extraordinary places can be found all over the park. Discovering one's own is part of the magic to experience at Crater Lake National Park. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our show. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, with another Learning English program on the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Katie Weaver.